This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Here's the batting order for the Metsies. Lindor, who's suddenly up to 242. It's getting up there. He looks to be at least avoiding the dread of seasons past. He's shown some signs lately. Soto, Nimmo, 1, 2, and 3. It's been that way all year. Nimmo, 4. He's got to get going. Vientos, you know, he's just been a mess. And I think that is a story that is going to be very interesting. And I love Vientos. You know that. But he just looks way off. And with a young kid, with nothing really to gravitate toward in terms of a database, like a database of memories and experiences, you know, that head starts swimming. Baseball, that is not a good place to be in the batter's box when you ain't feeling good. So hopefully he snaps out of it. But he's at a .114. All right, Marte Taylor. I'm not a Marte guy. Marte Taylor, Beatty Sanger, Holmes on the mound, 0-1, 2.89 ERA. So that is the Mets. And just checking the weather here, we get back to the calls. 888-808-1019. Really more for the winds. I know it's not going to rain today. I believe it's going to, let's see. The forecast here in Queens, hourly, it's got to be 20-something mile per hour. Oh, my God, how the hell are you playing this? So they start at 4, and at 4 o'clock, dude, you're looking at 26-mile-per-hour winds. How do you play? How do you play?
I mean, is the ball, which way is the wind going?
Going out to right field.
All right, home runs. Let's
there you go. Soto. Starts to crank a few, you know? Hey, if Pete keeps going oppo, Pete might bang two out there. No, that's crazy. Like, to me, and I said this before, I don't know how it came up, but like the wind is always the most frustrating thing. I can even, you know, a little wet, a little damp, playing golf, whatever, playing baseball, a little drizzle, fine. The wind, it's unnerving. Everything about the wind changes the temperament. Think about the way you grip a club. You're like, oh, I gotta power through this. And it changes everything. Same with gripping a ball. Just playing with the wind is tough.
Now, we've played wiffle ball. We know that a wiffle ball can just go soaring with the wind. You could start it one way, go the other way. When you're throwing a fastball, you're throwing a curveball, whatever it is, that's not going to change the pitch, right?
100% it will. There's no question. Think about this. If you've got a wind that's blowing, all right, because I don't know exact north-south from this position at Citi Field. So Mets are playing today, and Holmes is on the mound. And you're looking at you're watching SNY, and you've got the center field camera, right, which is a little bit off center. And let's say the wind is blowing from center field toward the third base dugout. Well, as a righty, now if he throws, I know he's a sinker guy, power sinker, but if he throws a curveball, which for him is going to go right to left, if the wind's going the other way, that curveball's not going to break as sharply because it's being met with resistance. I know that this sounds geeky, but I'm just answering your question. If the ball is meant to go right to left, but the wind's going left to right, it's going to offset that, and it could either result in a hanger or an inability to pound the zone.
So it's going to be
that for an answer?
It's going to be a messy game, is basically what you're saying.
That's the short answer.
A lot of walks.
That's the short. Well, maybe that is the short answer. The pop-ups are going to be an adventure out there. My goodness, BT and Sal, 888-808-1019. Ranger fans are absolutely disgusted, and you should be. And I got to say something. Like, so a caller brought it up, and I did not watch the Rangers. I did obviously want to see what happened. They got dusted last night, and the irony is that they were ready to play. Like, if you see, oh God, Rangers lost 5-1. The hell happened here? Well, it's really not indicative of how the game started. The Rangers had 12 of the first 13 shots. They didn't do anything after that. I mean, I think 3 of the next 4 shots that the Habs took found the net, and then it was lights out. And a caller brought up the comments by Laviolette post-game, and I kind of dismissed it. And I said, well, it's not really his style. And the comments, and I'm sure Ranger fans, you know about this because you're a diehard Ranger fan, but I want everybody to be up to speed and then try to imagine, like, if one of our Boone or Mendoza or a football coach said this, Dable, after a tough game. So Laviolette said, you know, he was asked, what did you say after the game? And he said, basically, quote, I didn't say anything after the game. I don't go in the locker room after the game. And now a caller's saying that to me, and I'm like, well, again, I don't love it, but they're grown men, and they probably know what they did wrong, and they'll go to practice, and they'll look at the film. To me, the more important aspect would be what happens in terms of a conversation before the game. And because they were ready to play, now they haven't always been ready. They haven't always been ready to play these games lately. Last night they were, but I almost put more emphasis on that than I would, you know, what a coach comes in and says when you get your brains kicked in 5-1. But this is a quote. I mean, this gets you fired. That's all there is to it. He was asked, what message do you have for your team? And he said, quote, I don't have a message right now. What? I don't go into the locker room after the game. Now, that's the full context there. And that hits me, admittedly, very different from the way it was communicated to me by a caller. Number one, you don't have a message right now? It's your job to have a message, dude. That's literally your job. Your job is to have a message for when something goes awry so that it could change the bad state of your team. And there's other aspects to the job, of course. Establishing the lines, you know, dealing with injuries, inspiring. I don't have a message right now. That is absolutely gross. Wow. I mean, listen, you've heard me flip out a few times over the Jets and some other things. I'm pretty sure Aaron Glenn, now, this would be the only way Aaron Glenn would do this, like if he says, let's say the Jets lose week one, or yeah, well, I'll just say week one, 37-10, and it's gross. 13 penalties, 3 fumbles. It's absolutely awful, right? You know, they give up 200 ground yards rushing, and they say, you know, coach, what message do you have for your team right now? And Aaron Glenn said something like this. You know what, guys? I understand the question. I'm not sharing it. They'll know what my message is when I get in that room, but I'm not sharing it with you. That's for us. You saw it. You saw what you saw. You know, you're going to see the film again. It's probably going to look worse than it did in real time. But right now, I don't have a message because that's not going to mean anything. I'll talk to them man to man. Okay, that's like, I got it. And maybe that's what Laviolette meant. That is not a good quote at all. You don't escape that quote. Tommy's in Staten Island or on Staten Island. Tommy, what's happening, bud? How you doing?
Hey, BT. Thanks for taking my call. How's it going?
Everything's pretty good. How are you?
Good. Thanks.
All right.
Yeah, I agree. Laviolette most likely is going to be fired. But, I mean, when does it end? Three coaches in the last 5 years. And I tell you what, the real problem for me is the core of this team.
Yeah.
You know, particularly Zibanejad and Kreider.
Yeah.
You know? We can always blame the coaches, but like you said earlier, when do the players, when does it come down on the players?
Well, there's been a lot of guys that have come up small in the postseason, and we've talked about this, Tom. Me and Sal hit it last year, you know, and it's when you look at a core, and this applies to any sport, you know, but when you look at the core and you're like, all right, this just isn't it, you have to react. You have to react. And that's why I started this entire Rangers conversation, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes ago. I'm like, you got to take a wrecking ball to it because I don't think there's any way to really salvage this. It's just unacceptably bad. It's unacceptably short of expectation, and there's got to be consequences. Let me get Stephen Marlborough. Steve, BT and Sal, what's happening?
Good. Your show is great as always. I'm a big Met fan since 1962.
Okay.
And I have couple concerns. The Mets are pitching lights out. Their bullpen has been remarkable. And that's the thing that I was surprised at. I thought they'd be hitting, which you're really not, other than Alonso. But I have a couple concerns. One, Mark Bienzel. Maybe he's a flash in the pan. Maybe it's too early to say that. I don't know. That's number one.
Okay.
And number two, my second concern isn't really a concern because he doesn't deserve to be in the majors. He's awful, Beatty. But once McNeil comes back, I'm sure he'll be sent down. But the thing that concerns me is, as great as the bullpen is, I don't trust Diaz. Every time he comes in, he makes it interesting. All right? And that's my concern. Maybe it's time for him not to be the closer. Maybe Buddha or somebody else. I don't know.
Listen, if this keeps up here, Stephen, thanks for the call. We might have a dual closer issue here for both the Yanks and the Mets. I'm not there with Diaz. I'm not there with Devin Williams. I'm just not. I'm watching the game last night. It was pretty apparent that Stanek was filthy. I mean, his slider was absolutely disgusting last night. I think it was the second one. I think it was Keith Irani. Who was doing the game last night? I don't even remember. So I was bouncing around between the college hoops. I think it was Keith. I'm pretty sure it was Keith. But he reacted to Stanek's second slider. If Stanek said, yo, I'm going to throw a slider on the black, good luck hitting it, you couldn't hit it. It was an untouchable, perfectly executed slider. And I think he only threw like 9 or 10 pitches, and 8 of which were strikes. Now, Stanek was really good. But no, Diaz is the closer for now. He just is. Now, the other issues, the Vientos, he called them, well, you didn't label him a flash in the pan. You said you fear he might be. I disagree only because of what he showed in the postseason. If the Mets had, let's say the Mets were 81-81 last year, right? And they had, you know, no real pressure coming off the previous year, no real expectations, which they did not have, by the way, going into 2024. You know, and even if Vientos started the season in the minors and eventually got the call up, and he had a good year, you know, 20 home runs, hit .275, some ribbies, nice OPS. You know, there's really no pressure there. Well, there's different pressure. There's internal pressure to prove that you belong in the bigs, and that's a real thing. And that swallows up a lot of young players. That might be happening to Beatty. I don't know. To kind of address very quickly the other aspect of your concern, Beatty. There's nothing to say when you hit an 050. Kid, you either hit and you stay, or you don't and you go. It's that simple. But Vientos is different because of what he did in October. That leash and that runway for him to get it going has to be longer. I believe internally it is. Now, that game against the Marlins a couple of days ago where, you know, he didn't run one out and he was chastised by his teammates and by his manager and his first base coach, and he didn't attack that foul ball well, and Aaron throw to first base. Like, he's got to clean up some other stuff. That the optics of his season so far are bad. But I don't think he's a flash in the pan. I think he's going to hit.